Welcome to the Soul Lounge. The Soul Lounge is now open. And here's your host, the Lady DJ.
The lights are dim and it's time to pour the drinks. This is the Lady DJ and I am pleased to have you inside the Soul Lounge once again. As always, my team and I have worked tirelessly this week to put together an awesome show for you, which is going to include a chat with a group out of New Orleans, Louisiana, who has managed to successfully blend their classical music training and this raw kind of heartfelt style of performing. They're called Waterseed, and the entire group is going to be with me inside the VIP room during the second half of the show, so make sure you stick around for that. I also have some new music from The Dream and the latest from Liv Warfield, and of course, classic soul from back in the day. We're going to start the party with a British singer-songwriter who has been working very hard and paying his dues around the UK and here in the States as well. He's an incredibly talented guy, and in a few, you will see why I predict that he will soon become a force to be reckoned with in soul music. His name is Daily, and the song is called Look Up, next, inside the Soul Lounge.
You're not happy here, you don't need to say that. It shows. It's all over your face, you can't erase it, no. I wish that we could face the things that hold us back before we fade to black. Believe me, I love you in my way. Ooh, I'm fucking nice.
soul. It sounds so good.
From Marsha Ambrosius on A Soul Lounge. She was one half of the duo Floetry. You may remember that. Originally from Philadelphia, home of Jill Scott, The Roots, and Music's Own Child. She came up in and around the neo-soul scene, and she had great success first with Floetry, and now she's enjoying it as a solo artist. And, you know, I'm not really one for sad love songs, but there is something about the quality of her voice that makes it bearable, even enjoyable. I love that song. She's released Run as a single, and we're going to hope that this means that she is also working on a full album soon. I will definitely keep you posted. All right, coming up next, this is Liv Warfield. Absolutely love her voice and love this song. It's called Stay Inside the Soul.
soul has been lifted to a higher place. Everything about you, honey, you send chills down my spine. Come over for a while. Don't you know I keep a clean house, my baby? Though we can mess it up all night long if you want to. Yeah. I sure enough can see that you're tempted. You're tempted. 'Cause it's written all over your face. There's no woman in this world that could even give you more. Don't you know, baby,
are inside the Soul Lounge with the Lady DJ. And coming up next, we have music from yet another singer-songwriter. This guy, however, is known for putting his touch on hip-hop songs. He's won Grammys for working with Rihanna, Beyonce, Justin Bieber, and Britney Spears. But every now and again, he'll offer up something for his fans. I think this next song is sure to become our generation's version of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. I love it. Here's The Dream with Black inside the Soul Lounge.
My father spoke of you through that liquor. Can we get a curtain call? Let us pray your idea outlives you. Cause everywhere there's a Chicago. I feel real black right now, real black right now. I'm feeling real black right now, real black right now. And I'll never be Mr. Medieval. I'ma thank you the next time I see you. You got me feeling real black right now, real black right now. The aggression of a young man. Shots rang out across the balcony. The day we lost a dream. Too young to sing Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Since then ain't been a lot going on. Enough pain can make a whole race bitter. They say the right amount of love can heal us. Oh, reminiscing back when Hill Fickle made us feel like niggas. And that's the kind of thing that sticks with you. I never felt this black. I'm feeling real black right now. Real black right now. I'm feeling real black right now. Real black right now. And I'll never be Mr. Medieval. Gonna thank you the next time I see you. Feeling real black right now. Real black right now. Somebody take us home.
You're hanging out inside the Soul Lounge with the Lady DJ, and I just wanted to remind you that coming up during the second half of the show, we're going to move the party into the VIP room to sit down with the band that I recently discovered, and I'm sure you will love. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But first, it's time for the Soul Lounge Old School Classic Soul Cut. Everybody is talking about Mariah Carey's new album. You've heard a couple of the singles here inside the Soul Lounge, but do you remember the very first time you heard her voice? I do. It was in 1990, and it was this next song. To this day, in my opinion, still her best. This is Vision of Love inside the Soul Lounge.
Old School Soul.
Lady DJ still with you inside the Soul Lounge, just reminding you to stick around. Coming up on the other side, we're going to sit down with Waterseed. You may have never heard of this group, but I guarantee you after hearing the interview and some of what they have to offer, they will soon become one of your favorites. So stay tuned. We'll be back with the Soul Lounge.
From the ambient R&B sounds of yesteryears to today's new soul experience, you are now inside the Soul Lounge.
Hey there, welcome to the Soul Lounge. We're inside the VIP room with a group that I recently discovered, and I'm so glad that I did, and I'm even more excited about bringing them here to you. Welcome, Waterseed. How are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank
you. It's so good to have you all here. Now, before we start, I got to get everyone to introduce yourself and tell me what part you play in the collective. So why don't we start here?
My name's Sinise. I am the flautist, and I do some background vocals.
Nice.
Lou Hill, drums.
Jay, I play keyboards and do some vocals.
Okay. I'm Shalia, the lead vocalist.
All right. Very good. Well, welcome. So now, why don't we start at the genesis? Because you all have this amazing story. Mm-hmm. Your bio reads like a book. It is really good. So I want to start. Let's start in New Orleans.
Okay.
Because that's where you're from, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Let me. So how did it start?
Well, it actually started on the campus of Xavier University in New Orleans. As a writing team, myself and two other friends basically came together, decided we wanted to write music. It grew from there. I think I had an experience where someone tried to perform one of the songs that we wrote for them, and it was not very good. So we decided that, hey, why not, you know, just go ahead and put a band together? And we went ahead and did that, and that's kind of that was the birth of Waterseed. Then shortly after that, we actually moved to the D.C. area. And started playing around D.C. a little bit. We actually pulled down a little contract, whatever record deal here out of Alexandria, released our first product. After that was released, went back home to New Orleans, and somewhere in that time, I think we ran into Jay Sharp here, and so he would come up to D.C., do some shows with us. Moved back to New Orleans, kind of getting everything situated, built a little studio, all the rest of that stuff. Really about to release our next project, and Hurricane Katrina hit. We kind of evacuated to the Atlanta area, which where we all connected. We found Sinise first, and then a few years later, we found Shalia, and we've been at it ever since, just doing as much as we can.
Well, let me tell you, we're going to hear from some of the music that you've all released in a little bit. And I want to also talk about the influence of Hurricane Katrina on your band itself and then also the music. But New Orleans, that style obviously plays a huge part in the music because you can't put your thumb in it. It's indescribable in the way that New Orleans is. Like when someone wants to describe New Orleans, they're like, it's New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It is right. It is what it is. So I imagine that sort of mashup of cultures and music influenced your sound.
Correct. It did. And myself and Jay Sharp were actually raised in the New Orleans musical environment. The ladies, since we've just moved back to New Orleans, the ladies are now kind of getting a feel for it.
Okay.
But we were raised in that musical environment. And I mean, Jay could probably tell you about kind of the gauntlet or the rites of passage that every musician goes through in New Orleans, which is crazy.
Tell me about it. So that sounds fascinating.
Well, it's really musically the wild, wild west.
Okay.
You know, fastest gunslinger type thing. So you pick up an instrument, it's serious business. This is like maybe in some other communities, mm-hmm. you maybe have hoop dreams and you're going to be an NBA star. In New Orleans, you pick up an instrument and that could change your life. So you practice, you take it seriously. And there's another 7-year-old playing drums next to you. And you're thinking about which one of you is going to be the high school drum major. You're not just having fun playing instruments. You are cutting your teeth on that instrument to change your life with it. And people who have been able to change the community have risen to a certain status or success or income opportunity to where they could give back to the community. So it's a way to get to another place in life, to take care of your family, to give back to the community, and to really just have some purpose and some kind of outlet. So the teachers take it very seriously. It's everything is life or death, pass or fail. So they ask a question. You don't just have to have the answer. You have to have it fast enough. And you have to answer it the right way. And the right way means I am conditioning you for a professional arena. This is not just a classroom or a gig. This is, I want to teach you how to handle yourself overseas, away from your family, to be able to do business, put on a good show, maintain the legacy of New Orleans. So the proud heritage is a part of the indoctrination in every little thing. So, wow. You know, when you're a kid, it can be nerve-wracking, but you go home, you practice harder, and you come back, and you want to show your teacher, you know, you don't just ask me a question, and I'm going to have the answer tomorrow. So it's always serious business.
And, you know, the beautiful thing about that is you're talking about learning how to become an instrumentalist and a real musician. Because one of the things that I hear a lot, especially when people talk about contemporary music across all genres, is that we've got a lot of performers, we've got a lot of singers, but we don't find as many musicians, or at least we don't hear about them. So to hear that you were encouraged to be a musician and a master at your craft is refreshing for someone like me. And I'm wondering, is everyone classically trained? Did you go through that process of actually learning from a teacher and for everyone? Or
yeah, me personally, and I think Jay's experience too, is in New Orleans, yeah, you go to school, you know, and you definitely have to learn classical technique, how to perform certain, you know, actual compositions. But for the most part, the street, meaning the street music, brass bands, jazz, and everything like that, it's what you're really moving towards. You use your classical training to kind of give you the facilities to do maybe something, you know, on the jazz side, on a contemporary side. So you have to learn both. It's crucially important. So a lot of stereotypes go into musicians, especially New Orleans musicians. Oh, they can't read music. They can't. No, it's like you have to go through all of that. It's a real system.
What's the difference between the classically trained technique and the street technique?
That's hard to explain. I'll give my humble opinion.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it, it's a loaded question, and
oh, is
my
it? Okay.
Not going to be proper.
Okay.
But I will say this, and if you're talking about stereotypes or anything like that, it would lend to the thought that your classically trained person could probably read anything that you put in front of them. They will be able to technically get anywhere around the instrument, whereas maybe a street, whatever, musician would have the idea, well, it may take them a little longer to play something, but they would have a certain feel that, you know, you can't really describe. So that's probably completely wrong, because I know several classical pianists and musicians who really put a lot of emotion into their stuff. But I would imagine if you're talking about stereotypes, maybe that's it. Maybe Jay or the ladies would have another opinion.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily want to, like, I really want to know for you as an individual, like, let me know if there's a difference.
Oh.
You know, well, what it is.
For me, there's not a difference.
Okay.
It's a part of the whole pie.
Okay. Would everyone agree with that? Sinise, because you're a flautist.
Yes.
So I imagine that, did you go through a, now where are you from originally?
I'm from Pasadena, California.
Okay, so so you went through a slightly different experience.
Right,
then.
Right. You know, I just grew up, you know, I decided to play the flute, you know, it was just something that I wanted to do, you know, and I was classically trained, had a private teacher, and was a part of different groups, you know, like ensembles and all that great stuff. But, you know, as far as the other side, as far as like the street side, that didn't happen until I recently moved to New Orleans, you know, but, you know, over the years working with Waterseed, I've definitely learned a lot about, having more feeling, you know, and more soul. 'Cause they kind of talk about me.
Oh,
you know, pretty bad, but
do
know.
They?
Yeah.
When she's got soul.
Does she? Yeah, of course.
Now that
I've heard,
now that
yeah.
they tell me that, uh-huh. you know, taught me, you know.
Well, that's good.
Teachers.
Or maybe heart. Like, that's what I always hear. People talk about, you know, heart.
Yeah.
Even when you talk about athletes, because you made that comparison between what it's like growing up wanting to be an athlete. There's that that heart, that desire to win and be the best.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, we're talking about the music. Let's get into the music. So we're going to see a video and be able to hear songs. So I'm just going to kind of let you all choose which one do you think would be sort of a perfect example of where your sound is now.
Let's go with I'm Trying. I'm Trying is a song we wrote, and it's really uplifting. What's great about it is the video shows New Orleans, and it's just a video that encourages people to try to do their best. You know, you may not be there, but never give up on what you think or where you think you should be, and also bring some people with you.
Hey.
Welcome back to Soul Lounge. We are inside the VIP room with Waterseed. Okay, so we talked the whole first half about your experiences coming up in New Orleans and coming together in New Orleans. And in that, you talked a little bit about the effect that Hurricane Katrina had on you as a group. But I'm interested to know about the effect that it had on you as a songwriting collective, because I hear so many artists talk about when they see things that affect them negatively, positively, or even if it's sort of an indifferent feeling, that it changes the way they approach their art. And I'm wondering if that was the case for you, and if so, how.
Right. I'll jump in on that. That's a great question. Something like Hurricane Katrina, no matter what level you're affected on individually, you see clearly as possible that you're not the only one affected. So there is immediate attention brought to our connectedness as people. And there is also made obvious the fact that there are people it happened directly to, there are people it didn't happen directly to. The people it happened directly to can see the connection between the two. The people that did not happen directly to cannot as easily see the connection. So it makes you want to be able to speak to people, not just to say, look, this could happen to anyone, be warned, be careful, but also just to express gratitude for what you do have, who you do have, because of the things that are shifting into perspective. And also, sometimes things can be handled better, handled differently, and you'd like to be able to express with some level of influence what you think, what you feel. And music has always been able to do that, whether it's social or political. And all of that gets mixed into how you're affected as a songwriter. I mean, if you are in need of some type of assistance and you can't get it from a particular agency, you know, and I'll be vague on purpose, and you feel some way about that, you can write about it. And that can speak to people, or it can raise awareness. Or if you have that uncertainty about how your loved ones are faring because you can't communicate with them or reach them, you write about that. So the way that can affect you as a collective is that you each have your own take, your own perspective. And even within this own group, some of us evacuated, some of us didn't experience that, but are connected closely to people who did. So that's a whole nother perspective there. Just getting to know how someone was affected is its own role to play in how it all unfolded.
Wow. And then when you come together to write, what is that process like? I'm fascinated by songwriters, period. So do the four of you sit down? Does one person come to the group and say, here, I've got an idea, and then you just kind of play with it?
Well, or it's kind of all of the above. We have several different approaches. Sometimes someone brings a song that's pretty much complete, and then we, you know, kind of put our spices on it. Or it's a song that's sort of just an idea, and then we develop it in that way. And then sometimes we just come up with something completely new, just all together.
Okay. All right. Well, now, we are broadcast internationally all over the world. And as I was reading through the bio, I came across a piece that said that you all spent some time in Russia?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Absolutely. Tell me about it. I want to know about that. What was going on there? How was it?
Well, we spent 3 months in Russia, and I'm sure we all, you know, can tell you our different versions of what our experience was like. But I can tell you, it opened my eyes in a lot of different ways, and I became that much more appreciative of the things that we do have here in the States. And I can just tell you that there were some times that perhaps I took a cold shower. And you know, we get used to those luxuries and comforts and things like that. But actually, it was a wonderful experience. It was a really pivotal time for me. It also gave us an opportunity to hone our crafts even more. We spent a lot of time in close quarters, so I believe that it was a bonding experience for all of us. And the people there, like, they really welcomed us with open arms. Like, they really enjoyed the music. They were excited about the fact that we were in their country and that we were American and that we looked different from them. And they loved it. And I was so happy because I wasn't sure what type of response it would be, but I was really pleased that they liked us so much.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, especially from soul and R&B and jazz artists, that when they go to Europe, they feel a sense of freedom because they're not boxed in by these genre boxes that we like to put artists in here in the States.
Yeah. Right.
And you found that to be the case. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they appreciate the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the biggest benefits to it was that we could go write and compose and come up with concepts without any static or noise from anybody else, because we were in some ways isolated. So when we had an idea, it was our idea that we could develop without any outside influences. So it was great in that way, and that it allowed us for 3 months to kind of do what we thought should be done with music. It was a great experience.
So Wonder Love 2, then, that is the most recent project. And what is that number? I lost count. That's what number album for you now?
I don't know.
Is that five?
I lost count too.
I think it's five.
Feel bad if you lost count, then I don't feel bad.
Keep it going. I think it's five or six.
Do you feel like they're all connected? You know, like they all just because,
well, yeah,
you know, I like mean, in life, just is a piece of where you were at that time?
Sure. I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're pretty, we haven't been together super long, but to have five products, you know, we really work hard at releasing music, and that's important to us.
Mm-hmm. So tell me then about this album. What makes this one special? What makes this one unique? Well, all of your music is unique. I don't even think that's a fair question. But what makes this one different than the others?
What I'll say about this one is this is a part two of one. So there's Wonder Love 1 and Wonder Love 2. This album is, I'm not going to say the end of a period, but it's definitely Wonder Love. Those tunes were floating around for a while, and we kind of decided, let's finally, like, really record them and release them because people should hear them. So in the phase of Wonder Love, it's kind of like, okay, let's go into our vault. Let's get the tunes we love. Let's release them. Put a few new ones on there. So for me, it's really special because in a lot of ways, Wonder Love 1 and Wonder Love 2 is kind of like a rebirth of the band in a way. And it's great to be, now we're out of that birthing kind of period. So now we're moving to a period where our little kid is starting to, you know, maybe walk a little bit. So you'll always be able to go back to Wonder Love 1 and 2 and like put your finger down and say right there. Kind of like Stevie Wonder, and I always harp on this album. He had these albums, but then when Music of My Mind came out, it's like, bam, Stevie Wonder, from that point on, super legend. And so hopefully history will say that about Wonderlove 1 and Wonderlove 2.
Absolutely.
And I would like to add, it's a very honest CD, both in terms of the lyrics and also just the overall sound. It's more gritty, a dirtier sound, so to speak, in terms of dealing with the instrumentation. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Good. More street. A lot of heart. Yes. Got it.
Yes. Raw.
Raw. Okay. All right. I like that. Okay. Well, we're going to hear a second song and see a video for a second one. But I have a little game that I like to play with everyone who comes into the VIP lounge. So I'm just going to throw some questions out. Don't be afraid. It's really not that bad. I'm going to throw some questions out. And whoever wants to answer them, and their musical questions, can. So when you are kind of in and around the house, a Sunday afternoon, cleaning up, going about life, what are you usually listening to? What is like your Sunday afternoon soundtrack?
Sade.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. Right now I've been doing a band from New Orleans called Dumpster Funk. That's who I've been listening to.
Dumpster Funk. I even like that name. Okay.
Gregory Porter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. We play him a lot. Okay.
Probably some Quincy Jones scores.
Okay. So it's Friday night. Had a great date. Things are getting a little romantic. What are we connecting to? What's on that Slow Jams tape?
Isley Brothers.
If you're doing slow jams, you got to put on Marvin Gaye, Trouble Man.
Okay.
Actually Sade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Good one.
Those are all good ones. I mean, can I put those on a playlist?
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay. All right. What lifts your spirits? You're down, you got to get back to where you can just go to work and do what you're here to do. Who or what kind of music lifts your spirits?
I would have to say across the board, it would be a Stevie Wonder for me.
Okay.
You would say that. Stevie Wonder.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, yeah, I would definitely agree with Stevie Wonder. I guess I would just add Erykah Badu.
Okay.
I agree with those, but I probably put on some Michael, too. Some Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Yeah. Okay. All right, awesome.
Yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire does the same, so.
Okay.
I'll take some of that, too.
Okay, you're just going to put a whole whole collective. Yeah, exactly. Y2C, Slow Jams tape. Okay. Life tape, actually, right? Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is such a pleasure having you here. I'm so glad that you all could. I know you've been busy and you're torn around, and I'm glad that you spent some time here inside the VIP room. So what I would like to do is have you throw it to another song, another video from your album.
All right. Well,
let's go with
Show Work Improve.
Show Work Improve.
Show Work Improve. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
All right. Show Work Improve from Waterseed. And thank you so much for hanging out with us inside the VIP lounge. Can't wait to see you again. Take care of yourselves and each other. Bye.
handle. Hey, your looks, your charms, your style. I ain't afraid to prove myself. Oh, oh, been working for a while. Show.